Well, today we're going to talk about a dead man and a dog. So let's start by prayer. Father, we just pray for your anointing, for your presence, for your revelation. I pray, Father, that everything of me will be out of your way. Holy Spirit, you will be able to rise up and rise up with everything you've given me and pour down more. I'm wide open to more, Lord. Let every one of us lay our lives down right now and just say, God, pour into me today. Awaken in me what's dead. Quicken in me what deceptions are there. Bring life and truth and set me free today that I can walk out of here in resurrection power this morning. That's what we want, Jesus. Only you can do it. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Philippians chapter 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself.
Amen. First of all, I want you to notice Apostle Paul, in writing this, dealt with pride, saying that he had all these religious things he had done, and he could boast about them. And he dealt with saying, I'm vile. I'm the least of all the saints. I'm the worst sinner of all. So he knew the same sins that we did. But he knew how to walk in resurrection life too. We are not going to fully conquer our sin as while we're in this body. We are sinners. And we try. We want to. I mean, if you really love God, you hate that sin that keeps getting you and taking you down again. You hate it. I hate it. And I'm trying so hard. And then even if I don't act on it, a thought comes in my mind or in my heart, and I'm trying to kick it out, but it just keeps growing in there, and I'm having those thoughts, and then I'm feeling guilty about it, you know, and running back to God and saying, why can't I stop thinking that way? I want to think like you. And do you struggle with any sin? Do you have any particular sin on the surface of your life that he's trying to remove? Because he's refining us like silver. That means we get thrown in the furnace, melted, and all the dross comes to the surface. Do you have anything on your surface? That sin that's in your face that you just can't seem to conquer? Do you ever get feeling so guilty and ashamed of yourself for that? So you feel like just, I'm hopeless, I'm never going to change. Well, we're going to talk about that today. I felt like that. I felt like that last night. I felt like that when I got up this morning. I just kept saying, God, I know I confess my sin. As soon as I recognize it, I confess it. And I know you forgive me. But I'm just so ashamed and so guilty that I can't seem to stop that thought or that thing that comes back in me. I'm so messed up by it. I'm so ashamed of it. And I'm just going to sit down here and I just need to pray. And immediately I'm praying and I see this most vicious, ugly, black dog lapping up a bowl of water. Clean, beautiful water. He's just lapping up that water, and out of the corner of his eye, he sees me looking at him, and a little growl, like, you better not try to take my water. And I'm like, come on, God, you know, Sunday morning, I don't even have a message for today, and that's okay, I don't even have to speak, but I'd like to pray and come in your presence. Why am I seeing this vicious, ugly dog? Is this my imagination? And the Lord said, I have two calendars this year. I pray and write sayings on my daughter's calendars, and now Jamie and Janiyah have started praying and writing on mine. So I went by one of Jamie's the other day, and I saw she had written a verse, and I was in a hurry and said, I'll get it later, and I never did. So God said, go back and see what she wrote on your calendar, and she wrote Philippians 3. So I come back and open my Bible, and I look at verse 2, and it says, beware of dogs. Uh-oh. I think that dog must have been something God was showing me because he's right away saying, beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. I sat back down and said, okay, God, this vision is from you. Let's deal with the dog. And Jesus grabbed that dog by the throat. And he said, and that dog, I mean, he turned into a total little demon. Vicious, growling, clawing, trying to get loose. And Jesus said, no! And as his no went out, his breath just blew him so far away, I think he ended up in hell. No, he can't have my water. That was my water. That was my water. I want to share that, what that vision meant. And then I want to bring Philippians 3 to you so you can see God intends us to have resurrection life. So I need a dead man, Jackson. I need a dead man. I'm going to die up here so everybody can see you die. Now stand up. Stand up. When we sin, we get bit by that dog of sin. He bites us. He actually infects us. He gets right inside of us, and then we join in with him and feel that sin inside of us, and then we're sorry. If Jesus really lives in us, you know the only difference in a saved sinner and a lost sinner? One of them hates their sin and the other one just excuses it. They might say they're sorry because they don't want to be punished. But a really true person with Christ living in you, you hate your sin. You hate it. So that dog bites him. And he loses his temper. Okay, let's have a little more. This little sweet innocent, he don't know how to lose a temper. And as soon as he does, now he's sorry. He's better at that, being sorry. He's sorry, and he takes it to Jesus on his knees, and he says, please forgive me. I'm sorry. I sinned again. Now, dying every day, Paul said, I die daily. I die daily. Every time we sin, we need to die to that sin. So die. Now he's laying down there. This is good because if you don't die, you don't rise up in resurrection power. So when Jesus was on that cross and he took all of our sin on him and he died with it. Sin kills you. He took it on and it killed him and he died. He took the sin with him down into the grave. His blood washed it all away. And then he rose up from the grave, resurrection life, without sin. No sin. It was washed away. It was done. Every time we sin, we need to picture it like taking that sin down into death. I kill this sin. I don't want it to live in me. Let it die. We confess it. We bury it. And we need to leave it there. But when we let guilt and shame come on us, we don't leave it there. Jesus comes along and says, Jackson, you're forgiven. The minute you confessed, completely forgiven. Here's some new life, joy, refreshing, peace, power with me. Come walk with me in real life. And he sits down the water bowl. And if we get up and start drinking our water, we're immediately back in his presence. But if we agree with letting the dog have our water, shame and guilt start licking up all of our joy. They start drinking away all of our peace. They drink away our fellowship. That new life, Christ said, I have living water. Drink it. We're giving it to the dog. He's stealing our joy. He's stealing our peace because of guilt and shame. Because we won't let the sin go. My daddy used to say, what we say at this table stays at this table. Well, what sin you take down to that grave stays in the grave. Amen. Don't bring it back up. But I did it again. Then take it down again.
Amen.
Righteous man keeps falling, but he keeps getting back up. When we get back up, we try to get back up. We're trying to sit up. We start to raise our head and say, okay, I'm forgiven, but we're back down with it again. Well, I'm forgiven, but I can't, I'm going to do it again. Back down. We're staying in there. Until we let go of the guilt and the shame, we stay in death.
Amen.
There's no resurrection power. Till we say, get up. That's my water. Have a drink. That's my water. You dog, you ain't drinking my water. It's my life. Now, one of the kids in Sunday school said, so if the dog drinks that water, they're going to get peace and joy? No. That water is only for you. He steals your peace and joy, but he doesn't get peace and joy. Because everything he touches is polluted.
Right.
His sinful old tongue gets in there and pollutes it, so he doesn't get anything out of it. A deeper hell maybe for stealing from you. More trouble with God because he's messing with you. Now Jackson said, an analogy could be, well, what if it's like Jesus has got the button to control the shock collar on the dog, but we have to put the collar on the dog? I said, well, that's a different matter. That's more like behavioral control. When we're outside, we're alive, we're out in the yard of life, and Jesus is trying to train us and teach us how to walk right, live right. Now, if we choose to be yoked up with him, put on a shock collar, and say, God, I want my conscience to prick me and hurt me when I do wrong. Now, he gives us a lot of freedom to run and play and leap and play. And then as soon as we get out of bounds, it's that button of our conscience. Oh, shock, I sinned. Shock collars for training. But we're talking about death. If you want resurrection life, there has to be death.
Right.
Now let's go back to Philippians and look at a couple of verses. Beware of dogs. I hope you got a good visual of an ugly, vicious dog stealing your life. And you'll be aware of it. Alert to it. Keep your spiritual eyes open. Don't let him drink your water. Beware of evil workers and beware of the concision. The concision, that word concision means the cutting down. And I know it can mean a physical cutting down like circumcision. But scission by itself means a cutting down. Do you know the devil is the accuser, and he's cutting you down all the time. We're supposed to be aware of the dogs. It'd be good if we don't let them bite. But every time they do bite, let's don't let them have our water too by taking us to guilt and shame. Be aware of the concision, the accusing, the taking you down by cutting you down. Men do it, but the devil's better at it. You know, he's far better at it. I scared poor Hudson in Sunday school because I said, let's just pretend that the devil says, Hudson, take the pen. And then after you take it, sees the tempter, then he becomes the accuser, the tattletale. God, did you see it? Hudson stole a pen. Mom, did you catch that? You ought to spank him. What'd you steal that pen for? You're just no good, rotten down. Oh, you're a thief. You're just, you know. Then he accuses you to you, start telling you how bad you are. So the cutting down is of the enemy. God doesn't want you cut down when you sin. You know, it grieves him when you get a dog bite. It grieves him every time we sin. But it grieves him more if we don't let go of it and leave it in the grave. That grieves him more because he's right there saying, like that, I said you're forgiven. When you got saved and he lifted all your sins and you felt so free and alive, you couldn't walk around going, well, I know he forgave my sins, but I'm going to do it again. You know what? We are going to do it again. Hopefully we'll conquer different sins in our life, and then other ones will pop up. We're trying so hard to be good, and there is none righteous but him. We're trying so hard to act right, do right, think right, say right, speak right, feel right, and then we beat ourselves up because we can't. We're the sinners. He's God. You get up out of that grave, you go, thank God you forgave me again, and your joy and your peace returns, and then you go out and you face the world, and they say, I saw what you did. You go, you're darn right, I'm a sinner. Did you see Jesus? Did you see how he forgave me again? He's so merciful. You're right, I offended you again, but he forgave me again. Look at him. We keep trying to get people to look at us as an example of Christ instead of look at Christ. We are the example of forgiven sinners.
Right.
Let go of the sin. That's how you die. Let go. Bury it. Bury it. And don't dig it up.
Amen.
We don't want to do it again. But don't beat yourself up either. Because that just keeps defeating God. You know, the quicker you accept that forgiveness, you rise back up. Now you can glorify him because you can go out with a testimony that says, I overcame by the blood of the Lamb. He forgave me. And now I'm going to overcome by the word of my testimony and tell you about it.
Right.
I'm not here to tell you I've learned to live perfect. I'm here to tell you I've learned how to get forgiven quickly. Quickly. We've learned to get forgiven, but we haven't learned to do it quickly. We don't recognize shame and guilt as that mean dog, a demon. It's more sin. You can't get out of death bringing more sin up out of the grave with you. Shame and guilt are sin. They are a demon. They are haunting you, tormenting you, and trying to keep you out of your resurrection power, keeping you out of the testimony of Christ. They want to keep you in the grave. That grieves God. He can deal with a sinner, but he can't deal with somebody that walks around whining and moping all day long. When you're whining and moping about yourself, just picture that old black dog over there drinking your water. Get mad about it. I want my joy. I want my peace. That's my water. You give me back my water, dog.
Right.
Dog. I've been married to a hillbilly for 37 years. It's contagious. Hudson wanted me to, he wanted to be my mean dog up here, but he's so darn cute. You couldn't even take this serious looking at his mean face was adorable. I said, that's just too cute. No way. For we, verse 3, we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit. We are trapped in a sinful flesh, but we worship him in spirit. It's all about him. It's all about him. It's all about him. If we could just get that. We keep making it all about me, what I do, what I don't do. Pride says, I'm doing pretty good now. You lost your water. Shame says, I'm doing so bad now. You lost your water. It's not about you.
Right.
It's about him.
Right.
which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. That word rejoice does not mean jump up and down. You know what it means? Boasting about Him. We boast about Him. Is there ever a day in your life you couldn't boast about Him? Did He do something wrong? So when we're moping around all day, I don't have any anointing, I don't have any power, boast about Him. Just boast about Him. Amen. Where would you be without His mercy? I'd be in a real grave by now. I'll way outsend my sister, and she died at 47. I'm 65. I should have joined her a long time ago. She's 2 years older than me. She was. She's younger than me now. He is good. And have no confidence in the flesh. Why are we shocked when our flesh fails us? Because we expected ourselves to be good. We expected ourselves to do better. God told us to do it this way. We failed, and now we're mad at us. Quick confession. Quick confession. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just. Let me add, and quick, to forgive us of all sin and wash us clean. Resurrection power follows death. Let sin die again and again. Let every seed of that sin die. It's not going to live in me. It might get in me, but it's not going to live in me. It might bite me, and I might blow, and I might sin. I might have a thought, but it's not going to stay in me. It's not going to dwell in me. I'm going to quickly say, no, I'm going to die again. You and me, sin, that just tricked me, we're going down to that grave, and I'm going to confess you, and I'm going to leave you in the grave, and then you're not going to drink my water, because I'm going to get back up and start praising and boasting about Him and how good He is. Not how good I am, I'm not. And I shouldn't be so surprised when I find out I'm not. But, you know, that's this ping pong. Pride, shame, pride, shame. If you know pride is sin, why don't we know shame is sin? Somehow we think if we walk around feeling guilty and ashamed, God will be happy about that. Well, at least you know you're bad. That don't make God happy. At least we know He's good. That makes God happy. We're forgiven because He is good. I can't trust my flesh. I can't put confidence in my flesh. I have to put it all in Him. All in Him. Paul says, though I might also have some confidence in my flesh. Hey, let me tell you some things I've done. Don't we all want to tell you what we've done? Because we want to look good. Paul had that same pride. While he's saying, I've done no good, but let me tell you the good I did do. Let me tell you what I could brag about, because I have done some good things. That's what we want to do. But those things, verse 7, but those things that were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. Anytime I can stand up here and say, look what I did. Spotlight's on me. That's a loss for Christ. That's a loss for Christ. It's got to shine on Him. I account all things but loss, but dung. I want to know Christ Jesus. Let go of everything else. Be found in Him, verse 9. Not with my own good righteousness, not by the law, not by these things I did. And I don't want to find myself in shame and guilt. I just want to find Christ. I want to be found in Him. I want to be walking in Him, filled with His presence. I want to be releasing His thoughts, not mine. The power of His resurrection. This is where the power of the resurrection is. Dead to self, alive to Him. Dead to me, alive to Him. Now, let's just say I don't like somebody. I'm gonna not like Jackson. I cannot like you, but then I have to walk way back there. Nobody could see me, see? So I'm going to not like him because he's up front. So let's say I really dislike this guy, and I can't help it. And then I go into, well, yeah, let me tell you why I dislike him. He deserves to be disliked. And I start criticizing and condemning and judging. And you know how mean he is? He just slaps his sisters around and steals their toys. And how could you? He's loud and boisterous and steals my peace. And I'm gossiping, I'm slandering, I'm disliking, I'm hating him. I can't stop that. God says, love your enemy. Well, now I feel guilty. I don't know how to love him. I can't. So what can I do? First, I got to go die. I'd love to do that, but my legs just don't get back up very good. I'm going to pretend to die. Here I am. I have to go die and say, Jesus, there's hate in my heart. I don't want it there. I want your love. Jesus, I've gossiped. I've condemned. I've criticized. I've judged him. I've cut him off. I'm sorry, God. I don't want that poison of that dog bite living in me. I don't want it to stay in me. I don't want to feel this way. I don't want to think this way. I want that sin to die and stay in the grave. Jesus says, you're forgiven. My blood has got it covered. Now rise up and walk in new life. Well, I still don't love him. Wow, is that sin? No. I can't help who I don't love. But I still don't even like him. And you can't help that either. But you don't need to start the criticism, the rejecting. You stop right here and say, God, what do you want me to do? I need your heart. I need your love. I need your mercy. Because I can't do this. Now, God might say, just go over and give that boy a drink. Here's a drink for you, boy. You walk away, still don't like him, God. I can't help that I don't like him, but I'm not going to slap him, and I'm not going to gossip about him, and I'm not going to hurt him. And I want you to change my heart. And then one day God says, give him the keys to Grandpa's truck and tell him, here, you can have Grandpa's truck. He likes me a lot. You know, it's hard not to like somebody that likes you. And all of a sudden, he says to me, because I've done a couple of nice things now, before he's just giving me ugly looks, and now he says, wow, I like you. Something changed in my heart. All of a sudden, I like him a little better, and I start to see him differently. At some point of obedience, God will change your heart. Some point in obedience, there will be a little, wow, I feel a little love for him even. You know, I think I'm going to pray for him, and I'm going to pray those things change. And then he drove the car around a couple days, and he banged it up and wrecked it. And I get mad at him, and all of a sudden, I don't like him again. Ungrateful brat. Jesus, I don't want that living in me. Over and over and over, we are being transformed because we hate the sin. Now, if you got something you do that's sin, and you just thoroughly like doing it, and you have no repentance about it, you need to ask God, open your eyes to see it the way he does, to grant you repentance so that when it attacks you, you'll at least hate it and want to get over it. But the main thing is, because I think we're both, all of us, kind of living in that place where we hate our sin. But we haven't learned to leave the guilt and shame in the grave too. Take instant forgiveness. Leave the guilt and the shame in the grave. They overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. My water, my joy, my peace, my life in Christ. You can't have it, dog. That's the word of my testimony. Dirty dog, you ain't getting my water again. And they loved not their life unto death. That's the rest of that verse. They loved not their life unto death. Do you want to know him? Do you want resurrection power? Do you want to walk with Christ? Do you want your sin to be buried? We have to be made conformable unto his death. Conformable unto his death to get his resurrection power. Once sin was on him, he took it right to the grave. Once sin is on us, take it right to the grave. Confession digs the hole. I like to picture things. Whoops, I lied again. Phew, I'm digging. God, I'm guilty. Kick that sin down in that. Bury it. He forgave me. Done. Walk away from it. Walk away. Resurrection power. He's right there waiting to give you the new water of life. Everything that's buried underground and dead stays there. We start walking the new life, the resurrected life, the life with Christ as though we'd never done anything wrong. That's why he pictures it as death. He doesn't want you to carry it around, drag it around like a suitcase full of stuff from your past, even from 10 minutes ago. He doesn't want you to have a wagon full of that junk dragging behind you. He wants you to be free. He wants you to be free. That's why you have to picture burying it. walking away without it. Don't let it follow you. Paul says in verse 12, I really appreciate this. Not as, oh, I forgot the verse 11, didn't I? I can't say 12 without 11 or 10. I didn't put 10, 11 in there. Read 11 for me. You left the chapter. I caught you.
If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead.
Paul said, I do this because I want resurrection life. I want resurrection life. That's why I have this decision in my life to do this. And then he says in verse 12, not as though I had already attained, either was already perfect, but I'm following after that I might apprehend that for which I also am apprehended. You are going after that resurrection life, and resurrection life is chasing after you. God is saying, please, take life, take life. Let me give you life, let me give you life. And you're saying, I want life, I want life. Just meet it together and you got life, you know. Paul says, don't look back. Don't keep looking back on that same sin. Do not keep looking back. He said, this one thing I do. I look forward. I don't look back. So when you bury something you confessed, don't look back. That's like taking a shovel. You get up and say, woo, I'm forgiven. I'm not going to lie again. And you walk out and you go, I probably will lie again because I'm just no liar and I always lie. It's like you went back and dug that hole and said, come on, sin, get back on me. Don't look back. What's done is done. Go forward every time, seven times a day. Righteous man falls seven times a day. Sometimes that discourages me because I fall more than seven. I must be the unrighteous man then. But over and over and over, quickly, don't look back. Don't look back. 1 Corinthians 15:42 said, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, and it is raised in new life. It's sown in corruption and raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. You know, God doesn't get glory when we go around trying to be good. He gets glory when we confess, rise up, and he is glorified through the testimony of that rising up. Telling people of the mercy will be filled with glory. I just put this together this morning. Normally I have color codes and scriptures in yellow, and I got it kind of late. So 1 Corinthians 15:43 says that we are raised in power, resurrection power. 44, it is sown in a natural body, and it is raised as a spiritual body. Our sin, our natural body keeps sinning. When we bury it in confession, we raise up a spiritual body. That's resurrection life, to raise up a spiritual. You want to be in the spirit? Then take your sin to the grave, rise up in the spirit, and walk in that resurrection power. I kept writing as I got here this morning. I don't even know what the rest says. But 1 Corinthians 15:36. This one really slapped me. Thou fool! Really? That's not a nice word. You know what it means? Stupid. Mindless, ignorant, unbelieving, unaware fool. Don't be a fool. He said, you fool. Don't you know that you sow is not quickened unless it dies? You can't get new life unless you let the dead stay in the grave. Let it die. You keep picking it back up, it can't get quickened. It can't get that new life. In other words, quickened, new life, living water, drink it as soon as you confess. Because if you don't, you stay dead. Sow it, confess it, put it in the ground, and leave it there. I'm just trying to read my own writing. Just give me a minute. I scribbled all this during prayer this morning, and some of it I already said, so we're almost to the end. I'll say this one again. Dirty dog, get out of my water dish! It's mine! That's pretty much it. That's just about it. That's what he gave me this morning as he's trying to get me up out of my own grave of guilt and shame and constantly beating myself up for not doing better. I'm not ever going to be better. He's going to be better. So let me just tell you about him. He's merciful. He is peace and he is joy. And the joy of the Lord is my strength. You can't be under guilt and shame and have joy. You can't. You'll be depressed. Another sin. See, sins pile on sins. I'm too guilty. I'm ashamed. Poor me. Depression. Giving up. Hopelessness. You can't have joy. You have to get those things rebuked. Be my joy, Lord. Because when he's in you, your joy comes back. And when your joy is back, you're strong again. Strong in spirit. His spirit. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Father, I just pray that you burn this message into me all week long. And I'm not going to let that dog drink my water this week. I'm not going to tote around guilt and shame. I'm not going to come under the heavy blanket of giving up and despair while he's over there trying to drink my water. That dog ain't getting in my house. He might get in, but he ain't staying in. He's going to get out. Father, help us to see how great and merciful you are, how good you are, how you love us so much and you just want to restore us so quickly, how brokenhearted you are when we stay away from you long, when we could be back so quick. Thank you, Jesus, for the revelation. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Follow us home with it. Make it breathe and live in us all week or forevermore. Amen.